It's the 120 podcast. Mikey Fernelli alongside Ben Hootie, or should I say, Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air as I have my Pat Hughes sweater on. Ben has one too. It's in the wash. Don't be afraid. Ben has one too. You'll see it in future episodes. Your sweatshirt you have on right now is Pat Hughes-esque, I would say. It's a similar pattern.
Yeah, it's a Sherpa. So
it's closer to the actual sweater that Pat actually wore at the game yesterday.
I like wearing like big hoodies like this that have weird funky designs, so Pat's sweater is like perfect for that collection now.
Perfect.
It's perfect. I wore it at the game yesterday, which I know we're about to get into, but
Yes.
it's good to be back to talk another week of Cubs baseball. And
Yes.
more than that, a very positive week, Mikey Fernelli.
Yes, very. And we'll get into the Rockies series, but first, let's talk a little bit about yesterday. For the second straight year, Ben, you and I attended the Cubs game. I believe last year was on April 5th. So it's like 366 days off. It was like, I think this year was April 6th. So,
Yeah.
or was it, what was it? It was right around this time last year, too.
Right around this time, but I think both years we've attended the second homestand.
Yes, this is true. And last year was the eventual World Series champ who we beat the Rangers, but we lost to the Dodgers yesterday. So the logic fails there. And I don't think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. They couldn't even get two out of three from your Chicago Cubs. That's the bottom line. We'll talk about it a little bit more as the episode goes on. But, Ben, we had a lot of fun yesterday. We were out in the bleachers. We got to finally meet Matt and Sam from Locked On. We have had Matt on the show before. We have not had Sam on before, although we were talking about doing a show with all four of us now. And we had a ton of fun. So we can't say enough about being at Wrigley yesterday. I know both of us said we got a little choked up even when we were during the anthem. Just 41,000 people there, everyone together. The vibes were so high. It was great.
And I know we're going to get into this week, but of course we went to the only game they lost this week.
Fair enough.
But either way, it was probably the best atmosphere out of any game this week, right? Like, it was just so cool to be there. It felt so good to be back, man. And just everything about that day. I know you said we both talked about the anthem and how cool that was with the damn near sold out crowd, but Pat Hughes' seventh inning stretch gave me the chills. He, you know, they showed him on the scoreboard earlier in the game, and he was wearing like the original sweater that everyone talks about, the sweater that he wears on every opening day.
Yeah.
But then for the seventh inning stretch, he pulled out the sweater that every single person in the stands was basically wearing. And it was cool to see the picture of Zach Zaidman and Coomer, and they were all wearing the sweaters together, and they just looked so happy. It was, we talked about it yesterday night. It was like one of those moments where it was like, damn, like we really picked the right fandom. Like it is so cool to be a Cubs fan. Like I know, like, so I know other fan bases, like especially White Sox fans, because I have roommates, like they think it's like so weird how like we talk about like how historic Wrigley Field is and the atmosphere. And no matter if they're good or bad, people will show up. But yesterday was like one of those days where I was like, I picked the right team to grow up rooting for, because this is just, it's just so special, and I can't wait to be at games there the rest of my life.
Nail on the head. You just gave me chills again thinking about it. Like, that was crazy. Like, looking around, like, I was looking at the flag, of course, then I kind of looked around for a second, kind of lost conscious for a second, just kind of peered around the grandstand. They got the American flag banners still going, like the classic opening day banners. I look around. I got my dad behind me. I got you and our other friends next to us. I was like, how lucky are we to get to hang out in this? I mean, probably the coolest stadium in all of the four major sports. It was awesome. I mean, they ended up losing the game. The offense went stagnant for the only time this week, but that was a different story. We'll get into that as we get into the Dodgers series. But yesterday at the game was incredible. Shout out to meeting the Lockdown guys. And I'm sure we'll do something soon with them, as we were teasing yesterday when we talked to them. Let's take it back to the Rocky series, though, first, Ben, before we get into this Dodgers series. The Rocky series, we said on the podcast last week when we recorded last Sunday, there was a good chance we wouldn't even see the Cubs play the Rockies more than maybe one or two games. They ended up getting all three in. Even when the White Sox canceled on Wednesday, the Cubs played their Wednesday game as they did Monday and Tuesday. And the Cubs came into town back to Chicago and just swept the hell out of the Colorado Rockies. I'll start there with the 5-0 win on Monday.
It was awesome. Great atmosphere. 1:20 start time was awesome for Monday, because my Mondays are mostly clear. So I just got to sit and watch it all day. And, you know, we talked about on Sunday's episode, or excuse me, it was Monday's episode, what are we going to see out of Shota Imanaga? And man, did he just win Cubs fans' hearts on Monday. Do you have the box score pulled up?
I can click it up right now.
I think it was, what'd he go, six or seven, six innings, eight Ks, nine Ks?
Let's see if you're right. In three, we're on the Rockies. Two, not Michael Busch. He went six innings, nine Ks. Good job off the dome.
It was a stellar performance, and he, as I said, he won Cubs fans' hearts over. We hope to see more of that. I think as the weather gets warmer, we'll see some of this heavy contact kind of start to leave the yard a little bit that opposing players have gotten. But so far, he's been flawless. He's not allowing walks. He's striking guys out, and we'll get into today's game as well and his performance later on. But just to kind of like refresh my memory, that was just an awesome game. And it was a really good start to the season at Wrigley Field. And I don't think there's any other way to put it. 5-0 win. The morale inside, or excuse me, Little League home run was just so cool, so electric. It was just such a great way to start the season at Wrigley Field. And I know, I think you'll touch on it later. I was completely out of the loop today, but I saw your text and I think you got a good way to put it, and we could kind of talk about it later in the episode. But that felt like the first Sunday was awesome, but like the vibes were just so high this week at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the Morel Little League home run. I was driving back to normal during that and in the rain, and Pat Hughes was getting more excited than usual, just not more excited than a normal home run. Just so excited by the thought of Christopher Morel just screaming around the bases, just with no fear of stopping at any time. He is awesome. We move on to the Tuesday game where the Cubs just kept business rolling for a 12-2 win against the Colorado Rockies. That was another huge victory. What else is new? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was the night that we got the legend of the Cody chant that's already pissing me off a little bit.
Well, before we get to that, I want to mention a pitcher first because Javier Saad looked awesome.
Yes.
We're going to see him tomorrow against San Diego, but Javier Saad was awesome in that game. Six innings pitched, only walked one, gave up 0 runs, struck out five. He's a bulldog. We know this. He did this all year long. There's going to be some inconsistencies here and there, but for the most part, all you can expect is good out of them, or excuse me, out of Javier Saad. Bullpen did its job, holding them down. And then the offense just exploded. Home runs from Saya, home runs from Cody that we mentioned, Morel, Garrett Cooper almost hit for the cycle and hasn't played since. Just to put in perspective how good this Cubs offense can be, he almost
Yeah.
hit for the damn cycle and hasn't got, he might have gotten a plate appearance, but he hasn't gotten a start since. So, that was a great game, and we could get a little bit into the Cody thing if you want to.
Yeah, I'll touch on that too real quick before I get into that. Assad looked awesome. Just creates outs. He looked great. He had five strikeouts, which we're not even always expecting to see him do, but he was able to rely on his defense and get the K balls. Cubs batting looked great. Saya hit the hardest hit ball since 2018, since Kyle Schwarber at 115 miles per hour. I mean, it was incredible. You can't go that fast on a Western highway. He just destroyed that ball. And then we get to Cody Bellinger in the seventh. Just tanks one, like right into the right field video board. Same thing he did a million times last year. Didn't break the video board this time. I think they must have added padding because it was a bomb. And when he did it, it was in like the kind of rain, and it was Cody, Cody, Cody in the stands. It was awesome in the moment. I rewatched that clip of him doing that about a million times the next morning. Like,
Right.
I watched it a million times. It gave me chills every time. And then we move on through the next game. We move on to the first Dodgers game. We're there in person yesterday. I'm watching today, and I'm like, I know I wasn't the only one who said it on Twitter. Like, I didn't even think I said it on Twitter. I think I just retweeted a tweet who said it, but I was. It's already getting a little cheesy. It doesn't need to be every at bat.
It's just, yeah, it's interesting because I think they did it to like kind of break him out of like the little
Right,
slump
right,
he
right,
had at the beginning. So I'm like, why don't we start doing this for Nico Horner? Because Nico
right,
Horner
right.
is just not, he's just not get, we'll touch on Nico Horner later. But yeah, the Cody thing, it's interesting. It's like, are we going to do it every time? Like, if we're going to do it every time, that's fine. Like, let's do it every time. It will be part of his recruiting if he ends up being an MVP candidate this
Right,
year, because he's
right.
going to go out and probably get a big contract. But yeah, when it first happened, I mean, that might have been one of the coolest
Oh,
Cubs
that was
moments in
incredible in the moment.
years.
Yeah. Incredible in the
Especially,
moment.
I didn't hear the cute Pat Hughes call, but the boo call was just awesome. Right on cue with the chants, everyone's. And it's a Tuesday night game that half the freaking
Yes.
people left because they were beating the shit out of the Rockies, and it just sounds so loud. And as soon as he hit it, it's like the stadium freaking erupted, and it was just so cool.
Yes.
And then we'll get to it later on, but he did it again today, obviously. And yeah, it's just cool to see. It was a cool moment. Maybe we could chill out a little bit on it. Maybe once the summer kicks in, we'll stop. Or maybe this West Coast trip that we're about to embark on, maybe we'll slow it down a little bit once we come back around. Who really knows? But yeah, I don't know. I do
No.
kind of agree with you. I think it's cool, especially when he hits a home run to go along with it. But
Right. Right. It
I don't
makes
know.
probably makes him feel worse when he strikes out, as we saw yesterday. But it's
Yeah.
no, I think it's fine. If that's the worst of the issues we have, we're in good hands, and we are. Like it's funny, but like as we might have saw yesterday, we are not clean of this. We were both doing it too. But like it
No.
also was kind of like, and neither of us were overserved, but there were people in the bleachers that were, and they were like the leaders of the Cody, having no idea what the score was. I'm just like, all right, that's enough of that. I think we should chill on that for a little while. And it'll be fine. It'll die out in like a month, and then it'll come back eventually in a big moment, and it'll give everyone chills.
Just shows
And
how much our fan base loves Cody Bellinger.
it does. It's everyone's excited to have him back. It was sick to see him back yesterday in person.
Yes,
Go,
yes.
we'll go back to this real quick before we wrap on the Rockies series. I want to talk about that Monday game one more time. You brought up Boog's call of the Bellinger home run. How about Boog's call of the Morel Little League home run? You texted me about that specifically. Boog is really coming into his own as a Cubs homer, and I am here for it.
Yes, and I have been one of the people that in the past has ripped on him for feeling too much like a national commentator,
Right.
right? But I think last year really like changed at least that stretch run where every game was so close, where it finally feels like he's actually a Cubs fan now. No, yeah, Len Casper was awesome. He's the voice of our childhood, but it feels good to finally have like, because everyone was sad when Len left,
Yeah.
and when we brought Boog in, it still felt like that national commentator kind of deal, but now it finally feels like we are fully bought. He's fully bought in. He is cheering just as much as all of us. And him and Jim just have great chemistry in the booth, especially with Taylor too. And it's been awesome to see thus far, especially because we've been winning and doing really solid thus far. So yeah, I'm happy Boog finally feels like a Cubs homer.
Their Instagram account, their shared Instagram account, Boog, JD, and the Mac is like their Finsta, and it is a great follow. They post like behind the scenes content, makes them all pretty
Okay.
human, and it's a solid follow. It's kind of a diamond in the rough. I found it last year. It doesn't have that many followers, I don't think. But it's public. I don't know how I came across it, but it's a good account. All
I'm
right,
gonna
let's
have to go
wrap on
follow
the
it then.
Yeah, you have to. Let's wrap on this Rocky series. It was a 9-8 win on Wednesday, a little bit more of a sweat than the first couple games, but it really only became a sweat in that eighth inning. It
Yeah.
was one of those games where the Cubs kind of got out to another strong lead off the bat, as was the that way, excuse me, with the beginning of the series. Chris Bryant finally got his first hit. We'll get to that in a second. And then it just kind of came crumbling down in the eighth, but the Cubs, being as good as they are, really found a way to kind of phone it in the ninth, and Aberdazola gave us the first real people's fist of the season.
Yes. And let's talk about one of our main talking points from last week's episode. I think Ben Brown looked great. And I
Four
know
innings.
that it's the Rockies and they're probably one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah.
But Ben Brown looked awesome. Four innings pitched. He Craig Counsell gave him an opener with Luke Little. And Luke Little has been awesome this
He
year, by the
shoved.
way.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. He's been a go-to guy thus far. But Ben Brown, four innings pitched, three hits, only gave up a run, had five strikeouts, looked really, really good. And I'm excited to see we talked about it last week. The Steel thing obviously blows, and that's a huge loss to not have your ace going every fifth day. But it's awesome to see that they're giving Ben Brown the opportunity early to maybe run away with the rotation spot potentially. And we're gonna see him Tuesday, if my math is correct.
I
Sounds
think
about
that
right.
makes sense. Yeah.
Will be interesting to see if they give him another opener. But yeah, he looked really good, and you love to see it. Little bit of struggles from Yency Almonte and Hector Neris, but Adbert closed the door, and we got to go sweeping. That's all I asked for on last week's episode was win two or three against a really bad Rockies team, and they answered even more than what I asked and got three out of three.
Yency had a strikeout, but he also had 3 earned runs in 1/3 of an inning, got his ERA at the time up to 81 earned runs per nine. So that's a incredible record-breaking skill set. But as you saw today, Almonte actually had a really nice inning today. So we'll get to that later. But let's talk real quick about Chris Bryant. This is where I think we can put a bow on the Rockies series. Chris Bryant, I'm not going to get into what we were discussing earlier this week with the standing ovation thing. Like, it is what it is. Like, I appreciate that it would happen in the moment. But you saw his quotes after that series and into like the Rockies next series. Like, there's just kind of a sad twinge in my heart right now for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, it's very odd, and I don't know. I saw the quote about like I someone must have said something to him in Colorado that made him trigger that, because what'd he say? Like, I've received death threats before, like I've
Yeah.
seen it all at this point, and
He.
it was just disappointing to see. It
Yeah.
sucks. I really wish that, everything just went well for him following his tenure with the Cubs, and I thought it went well with the Giants, but
Did.
he got his money, but it just seems like this Colorado situation is just not the right fit
No.
for him. And I don't know how they're going to be able to break out of that contract, because I mean, you would have to think that Chris Bryant's like, he's not that valuable anymore.
No.
Like, I don't know if any team would want to take on that contract, or even if the Rockies would want to pay it, they'd probably just rather just let it soak out and just have him waste the rest of his career in Colorado. But I don't
Right.
know. It's sad stuff, especially for a guy that just was on this Hall of Fame track, man. Literally, like, he was just he just the way that he started, and he just wasn't the same after some of those injuries with the Cubs. And I would still say his Cubs tenure was a success all around. He made multiple All-Star teams. He was the best player for many of those teams. And yeah, it's just tough to see that it's just not going well in Colorado. I mean, just weird all around.
In kind of a sequel to that article we've discussed before in The Athletic, talking over the offseason about Chris Bryant's decisions and not researching into the Rockies and things like that. He kind of did that quote he put out this week kind of seemed like a sequel that he, the dark side of baseball. When you struggle, it's not just you struggling, it's you're receiving these terrible, terrible things that no one should be saying to each other. He got his first hit in this game. He had two actually, he hit a run. I still think Chris Bryant could be good on as a one of many decent players on a good team. Like, I think Chris Bryant would still be okay if he was still on the Cubs. I think Chris Bryant struggles to be the end all be all of a terrible team. And he's played when this, I think the stat that Ron Kramer said on the radio when we were going into the Rocky series on Monday, I think Bryant had played like 122 games out of 2 seasons worth of 162 game seasons. So that's like over 300 games. He's played 122. That's not gonna fly. It's not. And he's missed 200 games. He has struggled, and I just feel bad. I hope for his sake he gets out of that contract, gets out of that Rockies jersey, and somehow finds a way back to a winning team and at least can play fun baseball because he looks just beat.
Yeah, and I think to wrap a bow on it too is really just the Cubs. As much as I would love Chris Bryant to be a Cub, and I think he'd be a much better player if he was still in Chicago, just because of the atmosphere around it,
Right.
the Cubs ultimately made the right decision
Oh,
with
yeah.
what they did, and getting prospect capital and not trying to re-sign him once he left. So yeah, it's just I feel bad
Right.
for him, and I hope he could figure it out. Maybe Colorado could be good in the next upcoming years, and he could be a veteran piece on a team and kind of break out finally, because he's only 30 years old, so he's
Yeah.
still got a lot of years left. But yeah, he's in a little bit of a slump right now, and it sucks to see. It sucks to see, especially with everything that he did for us.
Already missed today's game as well with some kind of back issue. What else is new? I feel bad. All right, that's the only low point of this episode, though. We move on to the Dodgers series, where your 2024 Chicago Cubs, who traded Chris Bryant, traded Anthony Rizzo, traded Javier Baez, and just turned it around into this team of proven all-stars with the best coach in the league and youngins, this gritty team that looked great this week. And the best way to prove that was, after all the haters said it was just the Rockies, you take 2 out of 3 from the Avengers, the team that spent all the money this offseason, the team that everyone says is going to win the World Series, a team that's own manager said if they don't win the World Series, it's a disappointment. They took 2 out of 3 out of them on Friday and Sunday. Just as long as Ben and I aren't there and it's not raining, they don't win.
Right.
Friday, 9-7, gritty, awesome game, back and forth.
Yes.
Michael Busch, incredible game, the beer man, the legend continues, home run, and then gets the game-winning play at first base against his former team. You would say Cody Bellinger was the expected hero, but nope, it was Michael Busch.
I think that's like the biggest takeaway from the weekend, right? Michael Busch has been awesome this week, and he's really building on that capital that the Cubs gave up to get him. And he's just kind of proven, hey, maybe I'm the guy that Matt Mervis was supposed to be. Maybe I'm the first baseman of the future. And he's really proven it. He looked good today. He obviously hit the home run in the first game. But yeah, gritty win against just a tough lineup that is suffocating. I told you the other day, I said this Dodgers one through three of Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie, and they all had pretty good weekends besides Freddie yesterday.
Besides Freddie, yeah, Freddie went 0-for-5
Yeah.
yesterday.
But it's like you're scared every time they step up to the plate.
It's
And
suffocating.
the worst part is there's guys behind them that could drive them in through the long ball or drive them in however they need to. This is a good team. The Avengers is awesome. I love how I don't know if you came up with that, but
I heard it in a text from somebody else.
okay,
Not on
but
Twitter. I
still,
don't know if they got it.
when you said that, I was like, that's awesome, because that's the best way to put it. It's a suffocating team, and Cubs just played gritty baseball all weekend besides the game that me and you were at, and just really managed to, I think, show the rest of the world what this Cubs team could be this year.
Got Bobby Miller for only an inning and 2/3, 4 hits, 5 earned runs against your Chicago Cubs. Hendricks started that game for the Cubs, got a couple good innings of production out of the way. He did allow 5 runs, but he went 4 innings and was able to at least stay in the game just a bit longer than his counterpart, younger counterpart in Bobby Miller. And then from there, we saw great relief from Drew Smyly, Julian Merriweather, and Albert Alzolay, which is the 1-2-3 punch you want to see in a failed starting outing.
Correct. And we could just kind of wrap around some news today. Sucks that Merriweather's going on the IL, but Palencia looked great in, I think, 3 innings of work today, if I'm not mistaken. He was out there for a while when they ended up coming back from the rain delay. So maybe Palencia can make a name for himself while he's up. He looked solid for the most part last year, but Julian Merriweather will definitely be a miss for the next couple of weeks or week or two here, whatever it might be. And yeah, it's you put it perfect. The bullpen for the most parts look pretty good. I know we're probably circling some names as question marks, but I think Leiter, Merriweather, Alzolay for the most part, Neris, it's a solid group down there. And Smyly taking care of business out of the bullpen, you love to see that, because we talked about it off air about how every time we feel like we need Drew Smyly to step up out of the bullpen, it's always a little shaky, right? And he managed to hold this Dodgers team to two earned, and Cubs offense just did wonders that day. And there's nothing to complain about. This Cubs lineup is awesome, and not even everyone's gotten going yet.
And every once in a while, they still somehow find a way to go cold, is the problem. Here's the card. If you're watching on YouTube, I have the card from the game. Look at all that squares on the Dodgers side. And one there with an RBI from pinch hitter, 2024 Chicago Cub Miles Mastroboni. 4-1 win for the Dodgers for Ben and I to see from our bleacher seats. Ended up being a really fun game, but they left the bases loaded twice. in the very first two innings and then didn't get on base again until I have the card here. I think it was the sixth or the seventh. Yeah, and the sixth, Morel got on with a single, and that was the first time since the second inning they had a runner on. They got mowed down by Yamamoto in his second decent start. His first start against San Diego in what was basically a spring training game didn't go well, but he's now mowed down the Cardinals and the Cubs. And to be fair, Wicks had a really solid game too. For the 15 strikeouts the Cubs had against the Dodgers staff, the Cubs pitching staff had 14 against the Dodgers lineup. So it was a solid pitching matchup on both sides. It's just that in the weak spots, the Dodgers were able to sneak in a few runs, and the Cubs left 6 runs on the board, seven, or excuse me, 8 runs on the board in the first two innings.
Yeah, that game felt very 2023-esque Cubs,
Yes.
right? We
Yes.
saw this story before. We talked about it last week. Happy they were able to bounce back on Sunday, though. But yeah, you just can't, especially against a team like the Dodgers, you just got to get at least one when you have the base loaded every single time if you want to prove that you're a real contender and a real good playoff team. But yeah, just kind of gross. Just was we're not able to hit with runners in scoring position. They gave us a little bit of excitement in the ninth inning, as they always did in 2023, but no sugar for that one, and they ended up losing. But yeah, I think you put it perfectly. As much as it sucked to see the offense go kind of cold, Jordan Wicks was definitely a bright spot out of this, and I think for the most part, he's ran into a little bit of bad luck, but I think he's looked very
Yeah,
solid to start the
I
season
agree.
thus far in two starts. So he's another arm that we're going to rely heavily on. I said it last week. This is a big opportunity for Wicks to, with Steele out, you kind of got to find some options elsewhere. Hendricks hasn't looked great to start the season. It seems like Father Time is catching up to him a little bit, and you want a guy like Jordan Wicks to go out on the mound and throw zeros as much as possible and let the Cubs lineup kind of help him out. So he's looked good. The changeup was awesome. There were so many times where I looked over to our friend Sharps, and I was like, he's throwing the changeup down here. And sure, like on a two strike count, he did it multiple times where it's just bang, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. It's
Yeah.
awesome to see. Pitch count got high early because, once again, suffocating Dodgers lineups, they're going to work counts. And you wish we could have saw more out of him, but seven strikeouts. Am I right? Seven
Yeah,
strikeouts
seven
through four
strikeouts for
innings.
Wicks, eight for Yamamoto.
Nothing to hold your head over. Very solid start out of him. Wish we could have got the win with that great
Yeah.
performance, but we just know that he's a guy that we could continue to rely on. He's just been really solid ever since he made his major league debut, and that's really good to see.
Ninth inning, Swanson reached. Bush reached right after with a hit. Corner fly out. Mastroboni had a grounder to second that Betts fielded in shallow right field and then scored a run. And then from there, Talkman walked and Happ struck out. And that was all she wrote until the very next day. Now, Ben, admittedly, you and I both were working the ISU game today, so we both didn't get to see a ton of the very beginning of this game. But we got to see the blessing in disguise after the 2 hour rain delay, which was the perfect window for us to get the ISU game done. Then we got to see the after. At least I watched a little bit of the after. Cubs
I
took this
watched
one
what
eight to. What were you saying?
I actually got to watch all of it. We had it on the TV in
Oh,
our
did you? Okay,
control. We had
I
it on
didn't
the
even see
TV in
that.
our control room. It was like perfectly timed because obviously we were doing the ISU game, so it gave us enough time to go back home and watch the game.
Yes, good
But
point.
the rain delay actually was huge because then we got to watch the college women's national championship
Yeah.
today. As
Yeah.
soon as that ended, it was like perfectly timed everything. But not to rip you off your point,
No,
but
no, no. I
it
saw no,
was.
you're I'm glad you have some background on it, because I saw Shota get a couple strikeouts early on. I had it on my computer when I was prepping for the ISU game in the booth calling it, and then I ended up seeing from about 7-0 on when I got back from the game. So about, I don't know, the sixth inning on or so. And I saw, and it was pretty quiet after that. Defensively, they looked great. Horner had an
Yep.
incredible grab at short. Talkman had a nice grab in the outfield. There was a couple big things defensively that I saw that I was proud of. Bush had a
Yeah.
huge first inning hit. Shota Imanaga had an awesome first couple innings. He only went four because of the rain delay. Probably would have gone a little longer. Had two
Oh,
hits,
yeah.
no earned runs, three strikeouts, was rolling. Yeah, Almonte had a clean inning, which we love to see. Two strikeouts included. Palencia did really well, as you said, Ben, only one hit over 3 innings. And Mark Leiter Jr. also made quick work of his one inning. So, Cubs pitching staff looks solid out of the bullpen. And what could have been a really scary moment as they had five innings after the rain delay where they had to just rely on their bullpen.
Yes. And that was like a win is a win. Never going to complain. But man, Shota looked awesome today. He was, it took him, after the second inning, I think it took him nine pitches to get out of the third and fourth. So
Crazy.
he was rolling along. So you would have loved to have seen more out of him. And he won round one versus Ohtani. I saw too on that
Yeah.
nice, I think it was a changeup inside that just made Ohtani swing out of his boots and lose his helmet as he always does.
He does do that a
yeah.
lot.
Imanaga looked awesome. You just love to see the start that he's been on thus far. And you hope that he keeps it up because he can be a really crucial piece to the success of this team. He's basically taking over Stroman's spot from a year ago. So you're just hoping that he could be better than what Stroman could have been this year for the Cubs. And he's using the strikeouts early, and you love to see that. And once again, lineup just came up huge against a really solid Dodgers pitching staff.
So it was that fourth inning, Ben, and you will give a better analysis of this than I because I was getting ready to call this ISU game, which was also in the rain. It was rain all over the state today. The fourth inning, the Cubs score their sixth run to make it 6-0. They score their seventh run to make it 7-0. And between those two runs, Miguel Rojas makes a throwing error and has some talks with the umpires and Dave Roberts and got all up in arms because it seems like he thought at that point they should no longer be playing. They should have gotten the tarp out then. And he seemed to think that although the team ended up winning 8-1, it didn't really matter in retrospect. The Cubs got a couple free notches because of Mother Nature.
He just made a bad throw. I don't know what he was complaining about. Yes, that maybe they should not have been playing in that weather because there was a 10-minute delay to fix the field, and then immediately Morel hit one that Miguel Rojas just threw away. But it everything around it was just odd. I think Cubs ground crew was trying really, really hard to
Yeah, kudos to them. Yeah.
make it to the fifth because it's technically a complete
Good
game,
point.
and if it were to get rained out, then they didn't have to pick this one up elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they were trying to do by fixing the field. So thankfully they got this one in today and finished it up. And when they came back, it was just like kind of like a funny atmosphere because there was
Yeah.
maybe like 1,000 people left, and still very loud. We got a Cody Chan, and he had a
Cody.
absolute line drive homer out. But yeah, it was a good game. Happy to secure the series win. 6-3 on the season, nothing to hold your head over. Yeah, I think now it would be like the perfect time to like what are some players that you've really, really liked from the last week? I name two and then I'll try and name two that I've like just been like just loving thus far.
I like Bush, as you pointed out. I think he's proven that that was a really good trade. We talk a lot about the offseason. We had a podcast talking about multiple podcasts talking about the offseason. We had all over Twitter talking about the podcast in the offseason. Oh, Jed's not doing enough. He didn't sign Ohtani. He didn't go get a pitcher. He didn't get Glasnow. He went and got Imanaga, and then he went and got a he went and re-signed Bellinger. But it was a very low-key trade to trade for this random unproven PCA of the Dodgers called Michael Busch, and it was going to be this guy who struggled in September and had no spot on the Avengers going into year two. And he's looked great. He's been great. He hits the crap out of the ball. He's really good at first. We've seen a lot of defensive errors by Morel at third so far, and even some by Saya out in the outfield. Busch is playing first at a great spot right now. He might be the best defensive first baseman the Cubs have seen in a couple of years. Bellinger's probably better, but he's not a true first baseman. I mean, this is big. This is big to have an everyday first baseman that can hit and play defensive that strongly. I'm not asking him to be an all-star, but he's been amazing so far. And other than that, Ian Happ has been insanely productive. He slowed down just a tad this series, but the Rocky series especially, Ian Happ has been incredible. We talked a lot when we first started this podcast last year, Ben, about re-signing Ian Happ, what that means for this team. You're keeping a somewhat a homegrown guy, trying to keep him around from one era to another. What is it about Ian Happ that keeps him around? He will get on base. He will be your leadoff man. And I think Craig Counsell, maybe his first roster lock-in is, yes, Ian Happ is the leadoff hitter of your Chicago Cubs.
And I love that he moves him based on matchups. I think We've been flaunting over the bats of Seiya Suzuki and Christopher Morel thus far this season, but I really think through 9 games, when you look at who's the MVP of the Cubs, I really do think it's Hap, just because he gets on at such a high clip and he's hitting the crap out of the ball. He's spraying it
He
all
gets on
over the
base.
field. Exactly. He gets on base. He's spraying it all over the field. I think he was just put in a bad position last year. I don't think he was ever a th he's not a three hitter.
No,
Just because he does
I
put
never
the
got
ball on
that.
the ground. He puts the ball on the ground too much. So when there's a lefty up, every whatever or excuse me, yeah, whenever we're facing a lefty, you're gonna see him in that sixth hole. Whenever we're facing a righty, because he'll go to the left side where he's much better at, you're gonna see him in that one spot. And thus far, it's been like kind of like Dexter Fowler. It finally feels like we maybe have a leadoff hitter. And yeah, you go, we go, right?
Yeah. 333 hasn't gone long. 6 RBIs, OPS 914 for Ian Happ to start the year. A quiet MVP candidate on your Chicago Cubs. And Ben, I think you're going to allude to two of your favorites, and I think I know who at least one of them is. You said he has a chance to be the MVP this time a week ago.
Yeah, Seiya has been awesome. He is just hitting the ball so hard. I don't know if it might have stopped today, but I'm pretty sure every ball he put in play was over 100 miles per hour every single time. He is just hitting the crap out of the ball, and he did go kind of cold this weekend against the Dodgers, but against the Rockies, he was awesome. Had 2 home runs that series. Hit just a missile. I have never seen a ball like that leave Wrigley Field. It was literally a line drive that just went flying out of the ballpark. And him in that two spot is just awesome, because you go Happ to Seiya. You hope to see some of the strikeouts go down, like he had a couple of ugly strikeouts this Dodger series, but that's perfectly fine. You put Bush and Happ, which were two of mine, so that's fine. I'll just go back to Jordan Wicks. Jordan Wicks has
Yeah.
looked really good and through two starts, and I think he's really it. As I said, he's ran into a little bit of bad luck, but I think he's got something that he could really build on for the rest of the year.
I'm looking into the stats here about, I can't find the exact number. This is a video. Oops. It was the 10 hardest hit outs of 2023 is one of the things we talked about with Seiya Suzuki last year. We could have told you this was going to happen. He hit the shit out of the ball last year every time he was at the plate, especially that last couple months of the year. He was hitting among the best in the NL, and he was still getting out way too often with the amount of power he had. And he is just finding ways to find the grass and find the bleachers now. Hopefully, it continues into this Western road trip for Seiya Suzuki. Considering we saw him out in right yesterday, Ben, holding his hand warmer, I think he'll feel pretty good at home, out west in the nicer weather.
Right.
I don't really know why he had the hand warmer. It was beaming in the bleachers yesterday. I was so cold in the car driving home because I was cold all of a sudden because it was windy. So I put my jacket back on, and I think I was especially cold because the sun was coming down the whole time. I got my sun's a little, or my face a little sunburned, but it was like cold at the same time. It was weird.
Yeah, no, it I had 3 layers on because I thought we were going to sit upstairs, and it would have been cold if we sat upstairs.
Yes,
But once we got
undoubtedly.
to the bleachers, that sun was just hitting us all day long. And I was like, by the third inning, I was like, I have to take off these layers. And
Yeah.
I just ended up going with a Pat Hughes sweater. Good
Yeah.
looking fit by me. That's all I gotta
It
say. I'm not
was.
trying to
It
toot
was a
my
good
own
looking
horn or
fit.
anything, but
Let's end with this. I got a story.
I do want to mention one thing really quick,
All right, go.
because I alluded to it earlier. Nico Hoerner is getting so unlucky right now, because
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
he's another player that is just hitting the crap out of the ball, but just finding gloves. And it happened today too. Nico went 1 for 4, so he got in the hit column. He's only batting a 133. I think he switched up his swing a little bit in the offseason to try and
That's what
pull
you
the ball
said.
more and hit more home runs. So I don't know if he's going to try and make adjustments or what, but at the same time, I think he's hitting the crap out of the ball, and I think he's just getting super unlucky thus far in the season. I wouldn't worry too much about Nico, just for Cubs fans. But it definitely is something to keep your eye on. And when you look across this lineup, everyone's just doing really good, and I think the two like circles. It's awesome that they're 6-3 when two of their best hitters and Cody Bellinger and Nico Hoerner aren't off to the greatest starts.
Yeah, and the difference that Nico's making defensively is enough to forget about
Yes.
any issue. I mean, it'd be harder to forget if this rest of this offense wasn't so hot. But the Cubs move on to play the Padres through Wednesday, and then the off day Thursday out west. They'll get the Mariners, and then next week they'll stay on the road to face your National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks before they return home on the 18th to host the Marlins, who got their first win today against the St. Louis Cardinals. Oh, I cut a ball off my face. I got one. Ben, did you catch a ball yesterday? I don't know. I haven't heard the story. You might have to tell the people.
I forgot about this. I forgot that
That's
we were
where
going
the
to talk
story
about
was.
this.
I see. I got this ball. Oh, I see a child over there. Oh, there we go. I gave it to the child.
Well, you just summed up the entire story. Yeah, I caught a ball at Wrigley Field yesterday, folks.
He did. He did a good job.
Seiya Suzuki threw one up. Probably about. We were in the second row in the right field bleachers, more towards Seiya's side, and just about as far right you can go before you hit the what do they call that porch? What is it, the Budweiser porch? I don't know
Budweiser
what it
porch,
is.
yeah.
Yeah,
It's
yeah,
under
yeah.
the Budweiser scoreboard.
So maybe like not as far right, but like the row
Pretty
over.
close, yeah, pretty close.
And I would say Seiya chucked the ball about 10 rows over our head.
Yeah, way up.
And it just kept hitting off hands. Just kept bang, bang, bang.
Beach
And
balling.
I got my eyes on this thing the entire time. Everyone's trying to grab it with one hand. I just go two hands in. Randy Moss, everyone, bring it in. It was like maybe the greatest moment of my life. It was like an all-time high. It was like the most athletic thing I think I've ever done. Someone jammed my thumb. That's still affecting me to this to into today. It's still pulsating a little bit, but yeah, I caught the ball, and I think you could tell the side of the story better. Either way, my head was thinking, I don't need this baseball. If it was a home run ball, totally different. Way different
Yes.
story. That one is coming home with me, unless it was a Dodger home run. Then it's getting thrown back because I'm not getting heckled. But
Yes.
if it was a Cub home run, that one is staying with me. It will stay with me forever. It would be my prized possession.
Ben
But
did
if it's just
undoubtedly the right thing.
my head immediately turned to, okay, I got to give this to a kid. There were not a lot of kids in the bleachers. It was
No.
a lot of people our age, a lot of older people. And, you know, I turned to my friend Sam, and I'm like, oh, get this picture with me before like I just want a picture, you know? And all of a sudden I'm just getting heckled by everyone, like,
Yeah.
give it to a kid, give it to a kid. I'm like, my head's I guess I'm gonna give it to a kid, just let me get a picture. And then I start getting booed, and I'm like, no, like I just want to
Yeah.
get a picture with it. So I get the picture with it. Instantly there's this little guy with the glove, and just toss it over to him. Never got a thank you, so the parents should probably teach that kid to learn his manners. But
The kid, okay, so the kid was directly next to me. I'll pick up where you left off. The kid was directly next to me because you were about four down from me. We were all in one long row, like a baseball movie. Like the camera was ahead of us, and then there's like a long row of us. And like there was probably like you and like three of our friends, then me, and the guy directly behind, two rows behind me, was yelling, "Give the kid the ball." He was kind of leading that charge, and I knew you were gonna give a kid the ball. Like you did the right thing. Like you're right. Like there's, I see both sides of that, but you're right. Like the kid wanted the ball. He had his glove. Like he was excited. He couldn't have been more than like 7 or 8, and you gave him the ball, and you did the right thing. He was there for the whole weekend series. I wish I got his first name so we can shout him out. He told me he met Andre Dawson at the Canes in Wrigleyville on Friday. He just like hung out with him, got lunch with him basically like 20 minutes. His dad was sitting in front of us with the dad had the glove on too, waiting for his home run that never came. And the dad had the Dawson jersey on. And I was like, that's incredible. But I'm like, your dad had, I didn't say this part, but I'm like, your dad had a Dawson jersey with you on the trip and you didn't have him sign that at Canes. That's nuts. But anyway.
Right.
Long story short, the kid ended up being really cool because I was mad at first, not because you gave it to a kid. I sound like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm not mad about the kid part of it. I'm saying I was sitting next to the kid and he had a different ball in his glove the whole time. So I thought he had gotten like a batting practice ball or something. And whatever, say a directly thrown ball, well, not as cool as a home run ball, is better than a batting practice ball in the ranking, I would think. But he already had one, and he had a brother there too that didn't have one. So I was like, the wrong kid got the ball. Like he already has one, but I didn't say any of that. I was just kind of thinking it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was being a stick in the mud. But then I like made a joke about it. Like my dad and I both made a joke about it, and the kid like pointed out that the ball he had in his glove, not your ball, because he was like playing with your ball. Like it was nice, it was wholesome. But the ball that he had in his glove was like a really dirty like playground ball. He was a real Cubs fan traveling from out of town for the series. He knew that if somebody around him caught a Dodgers home run, he was going to throw it back like, quote, like rookie of the year. So that gave the cred. He knew, not only did he know he needed to throw it back, he knew he was going to try and throw it back all the way to home plate like Henry Rowan Gardner. This kid was like 7 or 8, and he was so cultured. He knew the movie and he knew the scene. And I was like, yes, Ben played the long game. He saw it through, and then he let the kid impress me sitting next to me. So I was like, okay, Ben saw it through.
Yeah.
That was the bottom line.
That was the funniest part. Like, cause you texted me, it's like, dude, this kid already got a ball. Like, and then I was like, damn, like that kind of sucks. Like if I was going to give it to anyone, like I wish I would have given it to it. Cause I looked as soon as you texted me that, I looked over and I saw there was a kid in front of him. Didn't know it was his brother at the time until he told me, but I was like, I could have given it to him like instead. And I was like, okay. Cause the same exact thing happened last year where I went to a game with friends and we were at a Cardinals game and one of my friends caught a ball from Lars Nootbaar. And this kid immediately comes running up to us, like basically like not like, like he went to go get the ball as well. And it was like not that busy of a day. And my friend was like, oh yeah, here you go. Like, son, like no worries. And it was awesome at the time. It was like, look at that. Like
nice, yeah.
But then the dad ends up like talking to us and the kid and his dad are like avid, what do they call them? Like
ball hawkers or whatever.
Ball hawkers, yes. The kid and the dad are like, so the kid, like that kid at the time played the exact, he knew what he was doing.
Oh, he was trying to play the role.
Yes, he knew exactly what he was doing by running up to my friend because he just wanted to get the ball to add to his collection. And he had already gotten like 3 from that day from batting practice. So that's, I thought it was like a repeat of that again. And I was like, are you kidding me?
No, it wasn't that.
But it wasn't.
I could have saw that coming, but that's what I thought. It was something like that at first. Who's that guy on TikTok and YouTube that like does that? He's a grown adult.
Zach Hample.
Yeah. I knew it was Zach or Jack or something like that. That's a special kind of breed. And the funniest part was the dad in front of the kid had the glove. Whatever, bring your glove to the game. I've brought a glove to the game. I keep score at every game, so I don't usually bring it, but I've brought a glove to the game. Like, it's fine. Be a kid. Like, a baseball stadium makes you feel like a kid again. Like, bring your glove. But the funniest part was, like, I wasn't going to judge, but the Cubs literally did, like, on the left field scoreboard, like, awkward questions between innings one of the times, between innings. And, like, it was like, should you eat this at a baseball game? Should you whatever? Should adults bring a glove to the game? Was one of the questions. And like, it was like Dansby Swanson and a couple others being like, I don't know, that's a gray area. And then this guy's just sitting in front of me in the bleacher, just ready for his ball the whole time. I'm like, I respect the commitment. It was pretty funny. I don't know where they're from. I don't know his first name. I wish I can give more of a shout out.
He was just being a kid for the day.
I get it. I respect it. That's how we felt.
Yeah.
I totally respect it. Hey, Ben, this is another good one. We'll get back for next week to do some more Cubs talk. Hopefully the Western road trip continues. I don't know if we can aim for only one loss again. This is pretty remarkable, but if we go back and we're only 3-loss team at that time, we're going to be in business.
It's a tough stretch. San Diego's solid. Seattle, we know what they can be. I feel like it's been forever since the Cubs have been in Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long. But yeah. Let's get a couple more series wins under our belts. All you're asking for, once again, I'm just going to probably do this every week now, as long as they aren't losing, just get 2 out of 3. Just get 2 out of 3. That's how you make the playoffs. 2 out of 3. If you're a winning team, you win 2 out of 3. And that's hopefully what they can take care of business. By the time that we're talking, they'll be through with Seattle. So, let's get it done this week and continue this nice stretch. And there's nothing to complain about right now.
Stamp feet, clap hands, just win, baby. Just win. Go Cubs, go.